Gospel according to St. Luke. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who stored up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The Gospel of the Lord. Your siblings in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I remember going to church with my parents in the summertime and hearing this story read. And then hearing my father grumble about it all 13 miles home. I can put up more grain bins if I want. And this is, it's an odd story for us. Certainly as people who plan for retirement, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with building bigger grain bins. Saving, by all earthly accounts, is actually a pretty smart thing. And so I've been pondering this parable, and it seems it comes down to two things. One is greed, which our other lessons refer to this morning as well. Greed serves no purpose. But the other thing is this man didn't have any community. He didn't have any advisors. He wasn't necessarily particularly prayerful. You see, this parable follows the teaching of the Lord's Prayer. And last week I spent an entire, I don't know how many minutes, but talking about how it was a communal prayer. Our Father, give us our. Jesus taught us that prayer is so communal and communication with God is so individual. And here we have this parable. And what does the man do as he's discerning? He thinks to himself, "What should I do?" And then he says, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns. I will build larger ones. I will store all my grain. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods.'" There are more I's and me's in this story than if you were having a conversation with a toddler. Me, I do, I do. You have all known toddlers in your lifetime. This guy's a toddler. And he can only think, what to do with more of my bounty. It's a very human emotion, though, a very human response to think about needing more, wanting more. Do I have enough? My husband reminded me this morning of when his grandma was still alive. She was Corsican, surrounded by Italians. And every Thanksgiving, all the kids and grandkids would come to her house, and she would make homemade sausage to stuff in homemade ravioli with this thickest, sweetest tomato sauce. Oh, it was just to die for. And every time we'd sit around and she would be rolling things out and putting it together, and she would say, "Do you think it's enough? Do you think we'll have enough? Or should I make more? I'll make more." And we're all like, "Grandma, go ahead, make more." Because we knew, you know, the grandkids got to take home the extras back to college. Is there enough? And isn't that the heart of so many of our questions? Even when we're well-intentioned, when our ladies serve a meal for a funeral, the big question for a whole day or 2 days beforehand is, will there be enough? Will we have enough food? You know, we always plan 2 buns per person, I think, and there's always the question, will there be enough? There's always enough. Because they're generous. But it's a question that drives a lot of things sideways. Will there be enough? What comes to your mind? If I put a dot, dot, dot after that, will there be enough? Go ahead, fill in the blank. Is the answer something that comes from you? Or something that comes from God? My question, pondering all night and waking up this morning, was, will I have enough hope to share with my people after the 250th mass shooting in America this year? Are there enough words? Is there enough hope? Because I imagine the gunmen were wondering, do I have enough ammunition? I will give you my answer. There is enough hope if our hope is grounded in Jesus Christ. If our hope is grounded in Jesus Christ, and not just in a thoughts and prayers sort of way. You see, when politicians say thoughts and prayers, they mean, I'm not going to do anything about this. When church says thoughts and prayers, it means our thoughts and prayers and hands and feet and mouths and brains are all engaged. Miroslav Volf, Christian theologian, pointed out once, it's analogous to what is going on in the book of James. If a person says to those who are cold and hungry, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? Or if you look at the story of the Good Samaritan, we can easily imagine that the priest who walked by the person robbed and left half dead prayed as he passed by. But it was the Samaritan who was called good. because he did something to help the suffering person. Jesuit priest James Martin summed it up this way: if your thoughts and prayers are truly with somebody, it means you are going to do something to help them. Jesus prayed, but then he acted. Every Sunday, we confess our sins. And part of that confession is usually something about what we have left undone. We confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We know what we have left undone. Set aside fear. Set aside politics for reason. Set aside earthly goals for the sake of loving God and loving neighbor, all the neighbors. All the neighbors. Because the one thing that we know is that Christ is enough. If I didn't have friends in El Salvador who had lived through their civil war and who are now living through gang violence, and still some of the most extreme poverty in the world, and they stand up, they get up every morning with their heads held high and their hopes in Jesus Christ. I couldn't be here with confidence, but I am. Our hope is in Jesus Christ and none other. But he also gives us the voices, the hands, the feet, the brains, the heart to make a difference in our world, to help his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. People of faith, be of good courage. There are people, Christians, who are certain that it's okay for all this chaos because it means Jesus is coming back soon. Well, Jesus didn't encourage us to encourage the chaos. Jesus might well come back tonight, and oh, would that be a welcome surprise. But until then, we are still called to love God more than anything. And greed is an idolatry. Love God more than anything. And love our neighbors as ourselves. All of our neighbors. And the peace of Christ that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.